Nara struggled to her feet.
I know him, Colonel. He will kill you.
I'm expendable, Jurashic. Just like any of the others. Just like you. The mission will go on without me, and that's all that matters.
There isn't a mission anymore. On the other side, it's all falling apart. Right now, Five is probably already at war with itself. There's not going to be an exodus from Earth. Not of a million, not even a thousand.
She's right. The only people who are going to come across after us are a handful of CEOs and totality concept bigwigs. The rest of the 100 billion is as good as dead. My guess is the bastards have arranged it so no one else can follow.
Things could come together again. Sometime in the future, maybe.
You've got to face facts. There's not going to be a next time. This is the final gasp.
I know that's a possibility.
Colonel, I wouldn't joke about something like this. Believe me, it's done. It's over. I saw it. For better or worse, as it now stands, we six are the sole survivors of planet Earth.
As the truth slowly settled in, Gabhard seemed to sag in Ryan's grasp. He loosened his hold on the man's chest.
I want you other three to put your weapons down on the ground. Then take three big steps back from them.
After they'd obeyed his order, the companions moved in and picked up the strange blasters.
Now, out of those armor suits, all of you. Help them, Dan.
Under their high-tech gear, the soldier scientists of the Parallel Earth were less than impressive. They looked undernourished, and they wore threadbare jumpsuits. The toes of all their white polyester socks had holes in them. When they were out of their armor and seated on the ground, Ryan released the colonel. Christy immediately rushed over and gave him a hug.
You did it, Ryan! You came back!
Standing beside Dam, Nara watched as they kissed tenderly. When their lips parted and Ryan glanced over at her, the blonde shook her head sadly.
Something told me you were taken.
I can't believe this is happening. They were so close to making it all work, and it would have worked.
Don't know about that. The same mentality that fucked up the planet in the first place was in charge. If you look at it that way, what happened isn't any big surprise.
You really think they're coming over here? The scum-sucking CEOs, I mean.
I think they're probably going to try.
You can bet they're going to try.
What are we going to do with their missile? There's sure no point in launching it. Without the technology to use it, the satellite's nothing but orbiting junk.
Why don't you send it back?
Highlander frowned. What do you mean?
I mean, launch it back through the passage, before the damn thing shuts for good.
They all looked at the tornado, still dimly visible, hovering in the middle of the street.
As I understand it, even though the gate's closed on the other side, stuff from here can still get sucked back the other way. That's how Nara and I got pulled in.
Do you have any idea what would happen if we launched the missile into the passage?
Enlighten us, please.
For starters, it would take off the top 30 stories of TC Complex.
I don't have a problem with that. Does anybody else?
The companions all shook their heads.
Sounds good to me.
Hey, I'm up for it too. Give the bastards back that techno rubbish and hand them their heads at the same time.
Why don't you sit down for a while, Colonel, and let your boys see to the details? Gabhard sat heavily on the curb, his head in his hands. With Christy by his side, Ryan watched as the crew turned the mobile gantry, then carefully lowered the nose of the missile until it lined up with a shimmering bit of space in the middle of Moon Boy.
We'll have to count down at T-4.
Gabhard raised his head.
Once you reinitiate the sequence, we'd better all move to safer ground. There's no telling what will happen.
They took cover behind the collapsed porch roof across the street. When the numbers fell to zero, orange flame 50 yards long whooshed from the rocket's tail nozzles. That was all that happened for a few seconds. Then, when sufficient thrust was built up, the clamps fell away, and the missile surged forward. The hole in space gobbled it, and when the tail fins vanished, the canyon resounded with a solemn thunderclap that announced the end of a world. The door hit Dr. Huth so hard that it knocked him off his feet. He hurtled backward onto the computer workstations along the wall and bounced to the floor. With laser fire zipping into the room from the hall, he lay on his side behind a pair of ergonomic chairs and pretended to be unconscious. When he heard the intruders, captained by the one-eyed man struggling to dump the catwalk, he lifted his head slightly. What he saw made his heart sink. The wounded man with the beard sat guard by the door, cutting off any hope he had of dashing across the catwalk. Pushed by Cotter and the other two, the bridge to survival scraped off the edge of the pad and dropped, slamming into the wall on his side of the canyon. There was nothing Huth could do. He had to stay there, biting his lips, while the trio made good their escape, perhaps stealing his only chance to do the same. After the third thunderclap, Huth jumped to his feet and snatched up one of the chairs by the backrest. He rushed at the legless sentry, swinging the chair high overhead. The bearded man glanced over his shoulder as Huth brought the chair down. The metal wheels and undercarriage smashed into his head. Huth swung again as the rifle dropped from the man's hand. The crunching impact jolted all the way to his shoulders. He raised the chair a third time. The sentry slumped to the floor, his face badly gashed and spurting blood. Huth tossed the chair aside, snatched hold of an arm, and dragged the unconscious man to the edge of the chasm. Without a moment's hesitation, he kicked the body over the side. He didn't watch it fall. He shouted at the technicians cowering on the floor.
We can still make it! Help me pull the catwalk back up!
His staff slowly stood, but made no move to join him. Huth picked up the laser rifle the sentry had dropped and menaced them with it.
Got a choice. Help me or die!
They decided it was in their best interest to help. Raising the catwalk again wasn't easy. A rope had to be fastened to the bottom end to gain additional leverage. Even then, it took all of their combined strength to lift it. Once they had slid it back across the gulf, Huth ran to the other side. From the shimmering air in the center of the pad, he could see the passageway was still intact. The gate to Shadow World, however, had most definitely closed.
I need more power!
But, Dr. Huth, if we try to energize the gate again, we'll blow every grid on the planet!
Huth was in no mood for trifles. He leveled the tri-barrel at the tech and squeezed the trigger. The man jerked backward, arms flying up as a bolt of green pierced his chest. Behind him, a second before he crashed into it, a computer monitor exploded in a shower of sparks. The body rolled off the front of the workstation and dropped to the floor. Someone pounded on the other side of the bulkhead door. Huth turned and saw a black helmet peering at him through the glass. A gauntleted hand waved for him to unlock the door.
More power!
The technicians worked frantically to make it so. An angry voice boomed from the intercom speaker set in the wall.
Dr. Huth, this is 5 Security. Open the door and stand down the procedure. You have not been authorized to draw power.
The lights dimmed to nothing. As they came back up, the amplified voice spoke again.
This is your final warning. Open the door!
Huth had no intention of doing that. The glittering tornado had appeared on the pad. He dropped the pulse rifle and started to run for it. Behind him, there was a whomp as the security team blew open the bulkhead door.
Stop where you are! Stop or we'll fire!
Sprinting, Huth had 15 feet to go. He dived for the spiraling column of air, but had the sickening realization that it was too far away, that he'd never make it. He hit the concrete on his belly, and in anticipation of being burned, he covered the back of his head with his hands. As he did so, something rolled out of his lab coat pocket and clattered under the pad. He clutched for it without thinking. Huth stared at the glass tube in his hand. In it was an intensely blue eye. At this moment of his final defeat, Ryan Cotter stared back, mocking him. Then the room rocked as the lips of reality split, then gaped. Chunks of the ceiling rained around him and over his head. The tip of a white cone, 6 feet across, appeared out of nowhere. With a terrible roar, the huge missile unrolled above him. There was fear, pain, then blistering, yellow-white oblivion. Sitting on a chair he'd rescued from under one of the fallen porches along Moonboy's main street, Ryan watched Mildred throw more scraps of wood on her cook fire. She'd already fed everybody once, and was starting in on seconds for those who could handle them. There was nothing quite like fresh mesquite-grilled rattlesnake, he thought, raising the jug to his lips and taking a long swallow of air-temp beer, especially when the steaks were as big as a man's head and 3 inches thick. Get that crispy, charred crust on the outside, and inside everything stays nice and moist. Kind of like chicken, with the texture of fish. He burped softly and set down the jug. Jack had taken Highlander and Ackerman over the ridge to collect their morning meat, hunting in the cool light just after daybreak.